Good evening, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. It's such a pleasure to be here among you. My name is Andres Cotto, and today I want to talk with you something very related with what we just sang a few minutes ago. And I'm going to talk about God's care for His servants. Let me tell you something. There is a couple of phrases that have been very used by many Christians around the world. At least in Costa Rica are very used, perhaps here in the States as well. And those phrases are, may the Lord be with you, or may God bless you. We use it very often to say goodbye, or at the end of an email or a letter. Perhaps it is the same here, but sadly, through the time, it has been the case that little by little, many have been forgetting the real meaning behind these words, behind these phrases. And there is a great meaning behind them, but they have been sometimes equal, just like goodbye, go well. So, it is unfortunately because literally Jesus said to his apostles and to his disciples that he would be with us always to the end, even to the end of the age. That's in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And sometimes because we don't see God, or we don't see Jesus literally taking our hand, we can forget as well what those words mean. And sometimes people, unbelievers, people that don't believe in God will come to us and they will say, okay, you believe in God? Show him to me and I will believe as well. And we cannot show him to them because we know God is a spirit. You cannot see a spirit. But let me tell you something. If we understand how God cares of his servants, we will be able to show them there is a real God, which is the God that you and me believe. If we understand how God takes care of his servants through the providence, we will be able to show them how he's actively working and how he is taking care and governing the universe by his knowledge, power, and wisdom, and goodness to fulfill his purposes. So in order to understand how God cares for his servants, today I want you to go with me to Daniel chapter 1, and we will notice three important lessons on this night. Those are the first one, that God cares for his servants in the midst of calamity. We will learn that God takes care of his servants when they remain undefiled. And we will learn that God takes care for his servants so that they are able to be outstanding before the king. So let's go to the first point of this sermon on this night. And I want you to see in the verses 1 and 2 that our brother just read about how God takes care of his servant in the midst of calamity. Calamity is an event that causes great and often sudden damage or distress. When you read chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, you will find that there is a great calamity among the people of the kingdom of Judah. Literally, they were taken captive into an strange land for them. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came and took captive the people of Israel. And they lost a lot of things. The people was sad. The people was going into troubles, in a hard situation for them. We can see in verse 1 that it says that God delivered them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. But what it means, to be delivered into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, it means that he came and besieged the city, the holy city, Jerusalem. And he took the people with him to be servants for him. If you have been a citizen of this kingdom on that time, you have been going through a lot of hard times, a hard situation. That people lost their houses, their employment. They were going to serve as slaves to another king, not the king of Judah anymore, but the king of Babylonia. They were going to lose many of their friends, many of their family. They were going to lose their identity as a nation, because when the Babylonians came to Jerusalem, they didn't come to be friends with them. They came to take them captive, as servants, as slaves. So they were not anymore the kingdom of Judah, but they were part of the kingdom of Babylon. They lost their identity. And something very important happened to them. They lost as well, and this makes the calamity greater. They lost their religion. They were the people of God. They had the temple of God, that great temple built by the orders of King Solomon with gold and very nice features on it. But they lost it when Babylonians came to take them captive. And that temple represented the communion of the people of God with God. But they don't have it anymore. Nebuchadnezzar came and took the vessels of the temple and bring them to his palace. They were losing everything. This people was in a great calamity. In fact, when you think that they had not anything more that they could take from them, you will notice that something horrible happened. They tried to take when there was not any more, when there was not anything more to take, they tried to take their names. When you go to chapter 1, verse 7, you will notice that it says, to them the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. He gave Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Their names were names that were very important for them, because those names were related to God. And Babylonians trying to make them feel bad, trying to make them feel like slaves, changed their names to names that were, instead of glorify God, were to glorify idols. The name Daniel means God is judge, but Belshazzar means Baal's prince. When you go to Hananiah, it's a very beautiful name. It means beloved of the Lord. Bersadrach means illuminated by the sun god. Mishael means who has God. But Meshach means who has Shag, which was a Babylon idol. Can you see what they are doing? They are going even to the more important things they had, from the material to their identity, not only as nation, but personally. These people was struggling, and they were going through the harder time in their lives. But let me tell you something. Between all this calamity, between among all these horrible things that they are going through, there are something that we need to see to understand that God is taking care of them. Where is God? Well, God is applying justice to those who were idolaters, to those who practiced false worship. And Sometimes we will notice that it happens to us as well. In the middle of calamity, the faithful servants of God are affected as well. But we can see God acting and taking care of them even in the middle of that calamity. Sometimes we need to stop in the middle of calamity and see what we have left, what we're still having. Look, for example, Daniel and his friends still being blessed by God because they were preserved alive. They were alive. They lost their houses, their position in the kingdom of Judah, but they're still alive. If you pay attention, when God preserved their life, they also provided for them a good place to be safe. They were living now in the palace of the king of Babylon. God is taking care of them. In the middle of calamity, God is taking care of them because He provides food. Look at chapter 1, verse 5. They are receiving food from the portion of the king. And in the same verse, you will notice that they are being blessed by receiving education. Education in literature and language of the Chaldeans. So we can notice that God is applying His justice, bringing captives to those who were sinful, but at the same time, He is taking care of His faithful servants. Now let me ask you something. Have you ever been through a very hard situation? Have you ever felt yourself in the middle of calamity? You don't know what more to do? You feel weak? You feel alone? You have problems in your family? You have troubles in your job? You have economical troubles? Or your health is affected? And you feel like you don't have anything to do? Certainly, we sometimes can go into calamity as well. We can see horrible things happening around us as well. But let me tell you something. The God of Daniel is the same God that you and I follow. It's the same true and powerful God Daniel had. And what we have to do sometimes is stop in the middle of calamity and see how God is taking care of us. It's the same thing that Jesus told to His disciples in Matthew 6:33. If you put first the kingdom of God, God will provide to us. He will take care of us. Sometimes it's going to be hard, but we need to understand and believe that our God is the same that Daniel's God, and He will take care of us. What we have to see is what we have. They could say, I lost everything. But then when you start to list what you're still having, they had many things. God was taking care of them. If you and I are alive in the midst of calamity, is because God has a purpose for us. You can see in the book of Daniel that several times these people were preserved alive for many important reasons. In the book of Daniel, you will see the king of Babylon, the king of Persia, the king of Persia, glorifying God because of what Daniel and his friends did. So if you are in a calamity, don't worry. God is in charge. God is seeing you, what is happening to you and me. Just start counting the blessings you're still having. If you are alive, you're still having a purpose. You have something to do and glorify God with what you have. Even if it is only your life, you can do it. The next thing I want to talk with you is about how God cares for those servants who stay undefiled. Please go with me to chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. This is something very important. We can see here that the king is giving the order for all the eunuchs, to Daniel and his friends, to receive of his portion. There is the order not of just someone. It's the order of the king of Babylonia, the greatest nation at that time. He had political power, a great army. He was the king. He had a lot of influence and power on his hands. And he's saying, eat that. I want them to eat my food. But what is Daniel doing? What is Daniel doing? Let me tell you something. If I were in the place of Daniel, perhaps I would have been in troubles. Because this is the food of the king. What would a king eat? That is something delicious for sure. Every time I come to the States, I am in troubles and I go back to my home with some extra pounds. So I don't know how would I be myself if I were one of those friends of Daniel. But he was in this situation. Babylonia was a very idolatrous nation. Most of the flesh or most of the meat they would have eaten, perhaps it was offered to the idols. They would have eaten a lot of everything because they were a pagan nation. They didn't care about what is pure or what is impure. They just would eat it. It looks good, tastes good, they would have eaten it. But when you go to the history of the people of God, you will notice that Daniel knew something. When you go to the Leviticus, chapter 11, you will see that there are some regulations about what you can or what you cannot eat for the people of Israel. He would say, what of the animals of the air, the birds, or what of the animals of the sea, the fishes, or what of the beasts of the land you could eat or what you could not. And Daniel knew about it. Daniel knew Leviticus chapter 11. So now this is the interesting thing. You have the king, the more powerful king of Babylonia, in front of him, or at least giving the orders for him to eat his food. And then he had God saying to him, you cannot eat this, you can't eat this. But he couldn't see him, literally. But he knew that he was real. He knew that he is the true living God. And he feared to him. So that in the text says, but Daniel purposed on in his heart that he would not defile himself. He was not going to take the portion of the king. He was not going to take the wine. He preferred to eat vegetables and water. This was not easy. I'm telling you, was the food of the king? Was not an easy decision. But he was clear about who was the real king. He was clear in his heart that he needed to please God instead of the king of Babylonia. And he took that decision and he acted how he had to do it to please God. So now let me ask you something. How many times have we been tempted to receive something that would defile our soul? How many times have we been tempted by something that people say is good for you, just take it, it's free? And we have think, well, this is an important person. I don't want to let him down. I don't want to he or she stop loving me. I want to be good before this person. And we are tempted. The temptation is there. Perhaps it's not food, but they will make you to see it like something good, profitable to your life. But it will make you sin. Sometimes it's better to be like Daniel and stop and prepare our heart and take a decision and please God to not defile ourselves. When we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, we will see this. Paul says to the Corinthians, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Can you see what is happening here? Can you see how God is taking care of His people who decide to not be defiled? Sometimes we just say, well, there is no option. I'm going to lie. There is no option. Well, nobody's seeing me what I am doing, so I will do it. It's what I have to do. No. Every time we have a temptation, there is a way of escape. God will give it to you. Daniel was in front of the king of Babylonia, and he said, I will take my last chance. And I will ask to the chief of eunuchs to just eat vegetables and water. And guess what? In verse number 9 it says, "Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs." Can you see God taking care of Daniel? Can you see? It is the same thing for us. If you agree that the God of Daniel is the same God than Paul, we must ask ourselves if it is our same God. Because if we have the same God that Daniel had, and if we have the same God that Paul had, we need to come to the conclusion that every time we have a temptation, He will take care of us and He will help us to have a way of escape. Now the question is this: are we decided to be undefiled as Daniel was? Are we purposing our heart as he did? Because it is the important thing. God will never forget His servants. He will always take care of them. But we need to start to think in a way to stay faithful to Him. So we already know that God takes care of His servants in the midst of calamity. We already know that God takes care of His servants when they remain undefiled. Now we are going to see that God takes care of His servants so that they are able to be outstanding before the king. Please go with me to verses 17 to 20. It says, "As for these four men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them, all none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm." So now we can see how these men were outstanding. We can see how they were 10 times better than those of the Babylonian Empire. But let me tell you something. These men were not outstanding, 10 times better, because who they were? They were outstanding. They were found superior, better, because of what God was doing in them and how they took those blessings to be approved before the king. They could have just rejected that knowledge. They could have just been defiled taking the meat they were offered. But no, they took the decision of taking those blessings and applied for good. We must recognize that these people have been going through a process. They were brought from Israel to Babylonia. They were selected. They were educated. They were fed. They were being in the hands of God, and He was shaping them. He was forming them into better servants. And they took every one of those opportunities. The text said, it says that God gave them knowledge and intelligence. And they took that to transform themselves in better servants of God. They took the understanding, the knowledge, intelligence. And when they came to the king, they were found 10 times better. The question is, how are we going to be when we be in front of the king? How are we going to be when we be in front of the king? And of course, I am not talking about the king of Babylon. I am not talking about Nebuchadnezzar. I am talking about the King of Kings, about the Lord of Lords. I am talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How are we going to be found in front of Him? Because God has been preparing us in a way, in a truth, to give us life. He put us in His church to be in front of the King. And all of us, every single human being, will be before Christ when He comes again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, tells us about this. So we can see how God has been preparing us as well. God is good with us, you know. He has been blessing us a lot in different ways. He has been giving us wisdom. He gave us His word so that we can take it and form ourselves as better human beings before of the King. You are a blessed congregation. You are just about to have the Equip seminar. God is using His servants to prepare them to be before Jesus. He is equipping you to be children of God, approved, so that when Jesus comes, He will say, you are a good servant. You have ladies' retreat, marriage retreat. You have classes for your children. Evangelism training. Advices from your elders who are overseeing you to take care of you. When you see all this happening around you, when you see that the Lord gives you a church family to be with you in good times, to laugh with you, but also to be with you in hard times, to cry with you, to help each other, God is equipping you to be a good servant before the King of Kings. But we have, like Daniel and his friend, to decide, not tomorrow, not next month, today, right now, we have to decide, take all these blessings and use them in our lives to be approved, to be outstanding when we be called by your name before the presence of Jesus Christ, King of Kings. So my beautiful brethren, my beloved brethren, you can see how God cares for His servants. It doesn't matter if you are in calamity. He will find a way to help you. If you are alive, He will be with you. He will give you the escape when you are in temptation. He's taking care of his servants. And he is equipping you to be before the King of Kings. All we need is to understand how God works. When we don't see him in the book of Daniel, we don't doubt about his existence because we can see how he's acting in providence. You know what? We have the same God. We have his word. We understand he is alive, he's real, and he is using every one of his Christians, his people, his children to transform the world in a better place. Even through calamities, even through temptation, we can be servants of God. We can be instruments for him because we all are receiving the care of God. So understanding this, next time you say to someone, may the Lord bless you. Next time you say to someone, may the Lord be with you. Or next time somebody tells that to you, you will understand that you are not seeing God, but he's doing great things around of you. And you need to start thinking and acting like Daniel and his friends. So my invitation tonight is this, my beloved brethren. If you have been faithful to God, if you understand how he cares of you and you have been trying to do your best effort in your life, keep like that. Keep going. Don't stop. Because when you be in front of the King of Kings, you will be received as a good servant. You will be approved. And you will be outstanding before here. Keep doing that, please. That is my invitation for you if you are being like Daniel and his friends. If tonight you can recognize that you have failed before God, that you have sinned, well, that's a sad condition because Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 tell us that sin makes division between man and God. But here is a good news. God wants you to repent. God wants you to confess your sins to him. And he is willing to forgive you. He is righteous and faithful to forgive you. You can find that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He wants to forgive you. So that I invite you to decide today to repent from your sin. And God will take care of you, whatever be the next stage in your life. And if you are visiting us tonight, if you are here because you wanted to hear about the Word of God, well, let me tell you something. If you are visiting us, God wants you to know that he loves you. And he wants to take care of you as one of those who are part of his people. But there are some things you need to do in order to be part of the servants of God, to be part of those of whom he takes care. The first thing you need to understand is that Jesus came, his son, to live faithfully, without sin. And he died in the cross to save you with his blood. And he was buried and resurrected on the third day, and he will come for his faithful ones. So when you believe that, that's the first step to be saved. Mark 16, 15 and 16. You need to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, a gospel who is being preaching here for a long time. So please continue coming and hearing and learning about that gospel. Once you believe the gospel, you need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33 will tell you about that. And when you do that, you need to repent. You need to change your mind and understand and take the decision of have him as your king, as the only one to whom you want to be faithful. And repenting, you will take the decision of being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2:38. Because that is the way how a person becomes a servant of God. And it's added into the church. Acts 2:41-46. So if you want to attend this invitation, please come forward as we stand up and sing.